Mark chapter 6. Go there in your Bible. We are concluding today a series that we've been in about being clean, clear, and confident. I've loved this series. We're concluding it today. Clean, clear, and confident. Being clean. You're not fully clean unless you're Jesus fully clean. And I've been saying this verse every week because there are certain sins that when you participate in them, even a shower won't make you feel clean. But I'm thankful today that the Bible says, though your sins may be as crimson, his blood can wash you as white as snow. You ever have a shirt and you can't get a stain off? You're washing it, can't get that? Listen, there is nothing you've done that the blood of Jesus can't wash you and make you clean again. Are you grateful for that? We're clean today. We're clear. We know what we're about. We know where we're going. We've got mission. We've got purpose. I'm just thinking back to when Pastor Jensen Franklin came and preached at our last conference. He showed up, and I call him the George Clooney of Christianity. He's just the coolest older guy with cool hair. And he got up, and he said, when he got up to preach, he said, "Y'all are in trouble. I'm on my fast right now." And I'm like, these people have no idea what he just said. He was clear. He wasn't like, you ever look in someone's eyes and you're like, they're not here. They're not well. Stagecoach. Anyways, come on, I'm going to keep having fun. It was so crazy because like the 9:45 last week is like, wow, where did they all go? And then last week in the 11:30 and 6 p.m., all the Coachellas were back. It was now we're all going to be together this Sunday. It's awesome. It's awesome. And one guy texted me yesterday, "Sorry, I've missed church. I've been in Palm Springs the last 3 weekends." And I'm like, you have issues, bro. Like, that's, you went 3, you did all of it? Damon. Anyway, so we're clean and we're clear. We're clear about what we're about, what God's called us to do. We're clear in our eyes and our hearts about the purpose of God in our life. And then confidence. I like that confident one. Confidence is what I pray over you. If I could give you any gift, I would give you the gift of confidence. That you'd be confident in who you are, confident in who Jesus says you are. You just live with an exuberant amount of confidence. The scripture says it this way: by my God, I could leap over a wall. By my God, I could take over an army. What is he saying? I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens me. So I want you to be clean, clear, and confident. And a lot of this we've been talking about really comes from living a life that is led and driven by values. You've got to determine your values. Get your values in order. And I want to encourage you as we conclude this, maybe go home this week and write down some values in your life. In this house or in my life, I value X, Y, and Z. And I'm just giving you a few that I think are foundational for your future, foundational for your life. We talked week one about the value of faith, that we're a faith church. Faith, you can write this down. Faith is what honors God the most, and it's what God mostly honors. Faith, your faith honors God the most, and God mostly honors faith. So we're a faith church, and we're a faith people. So the value of faith, we talked week two about the value of excellence. So we all washed our cars and cleaned our rooms. In week three, we talked about the value of generosity. Last week, I talked about the value of serving. And I want to end this week. This is a big one for us. It's a big one for you. I want to end this series with the value of honor. In fact, write down the title of today's message. It's called Honor Culture Wins. And I want to encourage you to increase your honor in your life. Maybe your home is missing honor. Maybe your workspace or your relationships are missing honor. But I'm praying that by the end of this message, you will be inspired to revisit or revalue honor in your life. Honor, the kingdom of God runs off honor, by the way. Honor is the common denominator. It is the thread throughout the kingdom. It's a value of honor. Watch this, our opening scriptures today, Mark chapter 6. It says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him, they were amazed. Where did this man get these things? not from YouTube. They asked, what's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except, you know, lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So here's Jesus, and he's teaching, and he's trying to heal, and they took offense at him. And they go, wait a second, hold up. Didn't he build our coffee table? Wasn't he in Timmy's math class? We saw this guy. Didn't he used to ride the bus with our kids to school? And they took offense at him. And he got up and he said, listen, a prophet is only without honor in his own hometown. Everywhere else he goes, he's honored, except for in his house. It's kind of funny. When we were walking on Friday, we walked Harvard University. It took Julia, we just walked the city. My goal was to put in 20,000 steps on Friday walking through Boston. We made it. I iced up all day yesterday. Anyways, came home, did some icy hot. Anyways, but we were walking Harvard, and all of a sudden these people come out of the store, and they said my name. They go, Chad Veach. And so whenever I hear people say my name, I put on my pastor face. Yes. Hey, how are you guys? So I put on my face, and they looked at me, and they're like, they just kind of looked at me like, we're from your hometown. We're from Oak Harbor, Washington. I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah. And they told me we grew up together, or they grew up in like the neighboring city next to me, and they used to come to my dad's church. And I was just thinking, how cool is that? I'm running into people in Boston from my hometown. And Jesus was trying. He had gone other places and performed many miracles and was honored. But the place that would not honor him was his hometown. People from that grew up with him, people that were around him. And it says that he could not. It did not say that he would not. It said that he could not. He was willing, but the gift of God was locked up because they refused to honor him. See, honor unlocks the flow of the kingdom of God. Honor unlocks God's very best. Honor unlocks who the true person is. I'm going to give you a working definition of what honor is. Honor is, in the Hebrew, kabod, which translated means heavy or weighty. The figurative means to give weight to someone. To honor someone is to give weight or to grant a person a position of respect or even a position of authority in one's life. Honor is an internal attitude of respect and reverence and is accompanied by appropriate attention and obedience. So God has called us to be a people of honor. Write down number one today. Honor unlocks God's very best. In order to get God's very best in your life, you've got to honor the Lord. You've got to honor his people. You've got to honor his values, honor his word, honor his presence. When we come to the presence of God, we're not flippant in our worship because we honor and we revere him and we've put weight on his name. We've put respect on his name. We've put awe on who he is and we honor the Lord. Come on, clap together if you're a person that honors God. And I'm telling you, honor will unlock God's best in your life. If you're not seeing God's best in your life right now, look for areas in your life that do not honor the Lord. Because when you honor God, it just unlocks it. Have you ever gone to, this happened to me this last week, have you ever gone to like a old account that you haven't logged into in a long time and you can't remember your password to that account? You can't even remember which email you used to sign up for this account. And you go through and you try all your passwords and you try all your combos because you know you got a good 4 or 5 that you're working with. This happened to me. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's this email. And so I put in the password. Nope. Put in another password. Nope. Then I start to get a little scared because I know it's going to lock me out. And I'm like, you better make this one count. Finally, I'm just like, I got to do it. So I asked them to email me, you know. They got to guess for the email. So then I'm waiting for that. Why is it sometimes like immediate and other times like 9 minutes? Some demon angels holding it. And I finally get the passcode and I enter in and I start my new password. Don't you love entering your new one? The new one. It's just like the old one. It's like one digit off. And I enter it in and when the moment you get in, it's like relief. Like, woohoo. Back on Twitter. Here we go. What will unlock God's best in your life is a spirit, a value of honor. Honor just God's very best. It didn't say that he wouldn't. It said that he couldn't because they didn't believe in him. They didn't honor him. They didn't honor his power. They didn't honor his name. They didn't honor his gift. They were amazed. Where did he get this? What private instructor is showing him this kind of revelation? Why does he think he's better than us? Why? And be careful with people in your life that you treat as familiar. Familiarity breeds contempt. There's people that God has gifted in your life that you should honor them. We honor one another. We honor God. And when you do, you get God's very best. I don't know about you, but I want God's very best in my house. I want God's very, very best in this church. I want God's best in LA. And I know that it starts with honor. Increasing honor. I love this. Look at this this quote. The way to get someone's very best is to honor them. And the way to get their very worst is to dishonor them. And I just love this because right now we are, we're baseball parents. We go to the baseball field many times a week. We spend most of our Saturdays at the baseball field. And I love to shout, not just for my kids, but I've learned all the other kids' names. And I try and cheer for them like I'm cheering for my own. And I know that when I honor these kids and I'm shouting for them, baseball has its own language. Come on, baby, we go, baby, we go, babe. It's like, what are you saying? It's tongues for baseball. Anyways. Let's go, slugger. Like, what? How old are you to say this word? But when they get up, I'm not shouting their insecurities. You always swing at the high ones, Tim. Don't swing this time at the high ones. Now I'm speaking life over them. Because when you honor someone, you get their best. And when you dishonor someone, you get their worst. I love this. Mark 6:5, he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. In other words, Jesus could only take care of a few headaches and maybe like a back that was hurting. Everybody's got a back that's hurting. And maybe like a knee that's hurting. He could only do like a little few miracles, but he couldn't do anything big. Why? Because they didn't honor him as the Messiah. They didn't honor him as a prophet. They didn't honor him as the gift. And so they got the worst of Jesus when they could have had the best of Jesus. I want to encourage you, get God's best in your life. And the way you do that is you honor him. You say, I know you're the fullness of God. I know that you're the firstborn among creation. I know that you're the head and not the tail. I know you're the son of the living God. I know you're the Alpha and the Omega, the bread of life, living water, bright morning star, son of righteousness with healing in your wings. And when you honor God, you get God's best. Just love this. God promises if you honor him, he will honor you. That's how you get God's best. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. Laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity, and honor as your reward. God has honor for those that honor him. God says, if you seek me, I will honor you. If you follow my principles, I will honor you. God has a promise of honor for anyone that honors him. So the more I honor God, the more I get God's best in my life. Write down number two today. Honor is not a words issue. Honor is a heart issue. And we think in culture a lot of times that it's about complimenting people or giving flattery. Honor is a verbal issue. Honor is not a verbal issue. Honor is a heart condition. Honor is how we see God and how we see ourselves, how we see other people. And so we honor God from our heart, not from our mouth. Watch what God says. Jesus is going to quote this later, but watch this in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 29. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Our human rules is that we come in on a Sunday and we sing three songs and we listen to a message and we go, I'm here. Are you not honored? And I sang maybe like a bridge or two and I held my coffee. And so God is not concerned about you having a coffee or not, if I can be honest. God is not concerned with the volume of your worship, whether it's loud or quiet. You can worship God even as you're quiet or still before the Lord. That's why the scripture says, be still and know that I am what? I'm God. Be still. So it's never about volume. It's always about heart. He says, their lips draw near to me. They do the lip service, but their hearts are far from me. And I want to always encourage you to close the gap between what you say and where your heart currently is. Close the distance of that gap between your words and where you're at. If you're not in a good place, confess that. Lord, I'm doubting. I'm struggling. I'm not well today. It honors God in your transparency, your brokenness, and your honesty more than your religious duty of coming and going through the motions. God is honored when you bring your true self in worship, not just your lip service. And I want to be somebody that in my relationship with God and my relationship with others, I tell the truth, because that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I'll never forget, years ago, I worked at this church, and when I first started working, I was so amazed at the way that everybody honored the pastor, and it was a big honor culture, and so I was always so impressed that they would honor this guy, and then the longer I stood around the church, the more I recognized through comments that these people honored the pastor to his face, but they despised him in their heart, and so the more I worked at this place, and the more I was around, the more I could recognize, oh, y'all say one thing to his face, but it was before social media. Y'all say one thing to his face, but another behind his back. And God is not honored when you're duplistic, when you have two worlds. That means you're a double-minded person. God is honored when you close the gap between what you say and what you feel. And you so I honor God. And the more true and sincere I am with God, if you can't be honest with God, you'll never be honest with others. So the more I honor the Lord with my heart, the more I can honor others from my heart level. So it's not a lip service issue. You don't need to have more compliments. It's like when I ask my kids to apologize to their brothers. Sorry. You don't mean it. Come over here. You're going to say it till you mean it. In my head, I'm like, they're never going to mean it, are they? But honor is, it's not, so in other words, honor starts at the heart level, not the mouth level. Honor starts not with our words, it starts with our heart. So the more God, I allow God to heal me, the more I allow God to wash me and to clean me, the more I allow God's presence in my life, the more I am able to honor him. And if I honor God, I give weight to him. I give attention to him. I give obedience to him. I give awe and reverence to God. The more I do that, the more I have a shot at honoring people. You will never honor people above you, your honor of God. Your honor of God is the first thing. In fact, write down number three. Honor God first. God is first. Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. He is worthy of our honor. So where's God worthy of? He's not worthy of bronze, and he's not worthy of silver. God is worthy of best. He is worthy of my best praise. He's worthy of my best effort. He's worthy of my best effort before him. I put this down. Honor is God's system. It's his way, his being, his doing, and he expects it to be ours too. The first place we're called to direct our honor is to him. It is the priority of an honoring life. It's not that I'm trying to honor this guy or my boss or my spouse above God. God is first. So I live the God first life. Matthew chapter 6, what does it say? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So look at this, put it up on the screen. Honor is the key to receiving from God. We honor him. We honor his presence. We honor his word. We honor him with our lips and our lives. Clap together, everybody, if you're down to honor God. Come on, West Side, join us. Come on, let's clap and honor the Lord. We honor you, God. Who's the honored guest today at church? It's Jesus. Who do we honor first? We honor God. And so with our lips and our lives, I want to honor you. Do things that honor God. Find ways in your personal life and your lifestyle that honor. I'm going to do this because it honors God. And I'm going to stop doing this because it doesn't honor the Lord. I want to honor him with my life and my lips. I'll praise you. I'll worship you. I just love Pastor Travis Green. I'm so excited he's coming to Zoe Conference. When he came, he made such an impact on my kids and such an impact on our church. And did you? I love what he did when he got up to preach the word. He got up to preach the word and he said, okay, we're going to do it like we do in South Carolina where there is no Wi-Fi. And we're going to, just what I always think. Anyways, but he got up and he said, we're going to stand for the reading of God's word. And Zoe folk are like, oh, we got to get back up. Oh. It's a lot. And he stood and it's a sign of going, we do not take the Bible flippantly. We do not take the presence of God casually. We don't enter into your presence like we're just, it's another day, it's another Sunday, just whatever. We're at my church. No, a king is in the crowd. We're in the presence of the living God. We're honoring the one that was, the one that is, and the one that is to come. We are worshiping a holy, awesome, mighty God. We honor his word. We honor his presence. We honor his person. We honor God with everything. And when you do that and you put God first, I want to encourage you, live the God first life. Don't let any idols come in front of who God is in your life. Don't let anything, not career, not success, not finances, not fame, don't let anything come in front of God. Those idols will destroy you. They promise deliverance, but they don't have the power to deliver. They promise satisfaction, they don't have the power to satisfy. Only my God can do the things that he promised to do. We honor the Lord. We honor the Lord. And be careful. The reason why a lot of us don't honor, write down number 4, is because we live in a culture of dishonor. And watch this. Dishonor is the language of unbelief. It's the language of not believing in God and not believing in others. An absence of honor equals an absence of strength. Dishonoring people will make you weak. I love that. An absence of honor will make you weak. And when you stop honoring folks, when you stop giving honor, that's when you get weak in your person. That's when you get weak in your future. But wherever honor is, there's strength. That's why it matters the way that you speak to other people. Whenever you're around someone that honors easily, you feel big and you feel strong because they made you feel big and they made you feel strong. But when you're around someone that's disrespectful, when you're around someone that's dishonoring, they love to make people feel small. Remember, in your house, constant criticism creates constant insecurity. I'd rather do the opposite. Constant honor creates constant God's very best in their life and in our life. We got to be careful because we live in this society where people just live to cut other people down. And we love to just, you know, it's scary for me with these boys because all of a sudden they came home a couple weeks ago and they were like, Dad, have you ever heard of a yo mama joke? I was like, son, I invented yo mama jokes. So now these boys walking around like, yo mama. So, and I'm like, you're talking about your Mimi. You stop it right now. But we live in this culture where, I don't know if you've noticed, there's been a few diss tracks roaming around the last week. And everybody's just like, oh, dang, got him. this track. Ooh. You think God's in heaven going like, dang. Wow. Yo, that's crazy. So my kingdom runs on shame. No, shame culture doesn't win. Honor culture wins. And if you shame people, you get their worst. And if you honor people, you get their best. Don't let your mouth get caught up in the culture of this world. Let your mouth get caught up in the culture of the kingdom of God. We speak in love. We speak in blessing. We speak in life. We speak in healing. We speak in potential. We speak in future. Oh, come on. You can't shame and prophesy in the same tongue. You can't have death and life in the same tongue. You got to speak. Come on, clap today. I'm going to honor the Lord and honor his people. Don't get caught up in that culture. All of a sudden, it's about cutting and jabs and jokes, and you're going to try and be the person that says the funniest thing at their expense. And anytime you get dishonor, what happens? You have Jesus in your midst, and it's not that he wouldn't do something. He couldn't do something. Jesus can't. For some of us, God can't move in your house. Why? Because it's not a house of honor. There's no honor in your home. How could God ever move at Zoe Church if we don't honor one another and honor the Lord first? I'm telling you, honor culture wins. Honor culture wins. It's how the kingdom of God works. Amen? And the more you honor, the more God shows up. God is drawn to it. God shows up. It says he could only do a few miracles. Think about that. The fullness of God incarnate. Jesus Christ, he healed deaf people, lame people, dead people, mute people. He healed everybody. But there he could do nothing. Why in the world, with all that power, was he locked up? Because they didn't honor him. So when I honor Jesus, I get the fullness of Jesus. And I want to encourage you in your life and in your world, stop dishonoring. Stop cutting people with your words. Your mouth has so much power in it. The power of life and death is in the tongue. You speak life over yourself. You speak life over your potential. You speak life over your home, over your business. Come on, anybody thankful today? I'm going to honor the Lord with all I got. Worship team, come join me. I want to give you eight. You can write these down. These are eight places I want our church to honor. Eight places. I want you to honor your parents. First scripture I ever learned when I was growing up. I didn't realize how manipulated I was as a child until I grew up. And I was like, wait, the first scripture I learned was my parents made me learn about them. Wow. That's called spiritual manipulation. Don't worry, my counselor identified it. Anyways. I'm kidding. I'm not in counseling every week. Honor your parents. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is legitimately the first scripture I ever memorized. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live a long life on the earth. So God is such a big honor God. That he didn't just say, don't commit adultery and don't steal and don't have idols and don't murder. He also said, make sure that you honor your parents. And I just want to just speak real fast because there are some people that you've almost like canceled your parents and you speak negatively of your parents. You tolerate them. Find ways to honor your mom and dad. Honor them with a text. Honor them with a FaceTime. Honor them with a card. Find ways. Whenever I see people that don't honor their parents, I always think, oh, you don't want to live long, do you? Oh, so you just don't want to live that long? Because it's the first commandment with a what? Promise. He says, I promise long life for those that honor their parents. Honor your spouse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. As to the weaker vessel and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So just all the men, all the brotherhood, just look up at me real fast. The fastest way for you to get your prayers stopped is by not honoring your wife. Your prayers are hindered if you're not honoring your spouse. But if you want God to answer your prayers and you want to live a good life, honor your spouse. And vice versa. There's nothing more unattractive to me than a husband that disrespects his wife. And there's nothing more unattractive to me than a wife that can't respect her man. And God is a God of order. Get your house in order. We honor God, we honor each other, but we start with our parents, we start with our spouse, we start with our home. How about number three, honor your children? Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. I thought about the scripture as I was getting ready because yesterday I caught my six-year-old in a lie. He was lying. And he's the worst liar you've ever seen. He tells on himself in the first second. But he won't back down for like an hour. But don't worry, I have all the patience in the world. And I'm going to win. And so I stayed with him and he's just so upset. But I'm teaching him the value of honesty, the value of being a truth teller. But I was thinking about this verse, as I engage him, I cannot exasperate him. I can't break his spirit. I still, even as I raise him, I got to honor my children. Honor your children. Number four, honor others before yourself. It's out of Romans. Number five, honor church leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. So we honor the volunteers of our church. We honor our Connect group leaders. We honor our staff. Can we just clap and thank God for the staff that God's given Zoe Church? We honor everybody at Westside, Nate and everybody that's working Zoe family. We honor our church leaders. We honor you. We thank God for you today. We honor those in authority. So anybody in authority, Romans is clear about this. Sometimes, by the way, in life, you cannot honor the person because they're not worthy of honor, but you can honor the position. So an honoring person finds ways to honor instead of making excuses. Number seven, honor your boss. It's a word for the front row today. Sorry, what was that? Okay. And number eight, honor God with your finances. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So I honor God. You know, we got paid on the first. I couldn't wait to give my tithe and my offering on behalf of our family because I love to get on push pay and give our tithe because to me, it's like the greatest thing in the whole world to honor God with my first. So before I pay AT&T or Netflix or YouTube, I pay God because I return to God what belongs to Him. He's worthy of first. So it's a practice. Are we a culture of honor? And do we honor the Lord with everything we have? And do we honor one another? Because what I've seen in church is that if you don't have honor, dishonor will manifest somehow, some way. If it's not a value, you'll stop fighting for a relationship. You stop fighting for each other. You stop fighting for your marriage because you just tolerate. And what is that word? Familiarity breeds contempt. You go, this is my spouse. It's my church. It's my life. It's my job. And I don't know if that's the will of God for our lives. The more I honor God and honor His presence and His word, let me say it this way, the more vertical I go with my heart and my worship, the more horizontal He makes my life. He never calls me just to worship Him. He calls me to honor Him and to honor others. I'm just praying over your life that you would examine your future, examine where you're at today, and ask yourself, am I a person of honor? Is that really in my heart? Am I a lip service person, but in my heart I despise people? The scripture that scares me, it says in Proverbs, His words were as smooth as butter, but war was in His heart. It's not what you're saying, it's what you're feeling. You got to work through those issues so you can honor God and honor others. Amen. Just stand to your feet.